BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Monday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. Greg's on Real or No Real. There's more wacky conductors on public transport, this time a coach. And Nick Jonas tells us about working out 6 hours a day, his new acting role, and where his purity ring is.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.
Few texts coming in, like Adam from Tunbridge, who says, Chris Stark, concerned, is he okay? He has not been seen since you went to the cinema to see 50 Shades of Grey with Vanessa Feltz. He's absolutely fine, he's just off this week. Ah, 50 Shades of Grey with Vanessa Feltz. What an evening that was.
All together now?
Love me like you do.
Me just laughing nervously at everything Vanessa said, and then Chris leaving halfway through.
Oh, would you like a ride on his chopper? Yes, you would.
Thanks, Chris, by the way, if you're listening right now, for walking out on me or that. You're right, we haven't seen him since, but he's back next week.
I'd hate it if some man ate my toast.
Same.
When a girl wants to eat toast, she wants to eat toast. She doesn't want some beep eating her toast. I'd hate that. That'd be a deal breaker for me. Get off my toast. Get off my croissant. Don't touch my biscuits. Keep away from my crunchy.
Can we not go and see the second one with Vanessa? We'll find someone else, I think. Loved her speech last week. I did want to have my Oscars ready, Oscars music ready at one point. It was like, come on, love, wrap it up. Sigma and Paloma Faith changing on BBC Radio 1. Lance is still watching on repeat the Gabby Logan innuendo bingo video from last week. Said it was great. That's on Radio 1 YouTube. We've got news on tomorrow's bingo coming up.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Nick Jonas, hello.
Hello.
It's always very embarrassing when the star walks in on somebody doing research on them.
I saw that.
Yeah, there's a man up there, a lovely man called Dexter, who works on our show. He wasn't really expecting you to walk in as he was Googling shirtless pictures of you.
It happens now more than you would think, where people are actually doing the research and I walk up behind them. It's very uncomfortable.
He was searching some facts about you and hamburgers and hot dogs and how you like to eat them differently to the rest of the population.
Yeah.
What is that? You remember that fact? Is that true?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it said something in an interview one time where I was talking about eating the hamburger in a circle instead of just straight down the pipe.
Well remembered.
Yeah.
You must say stuff in interviews all the time and then you'll see it written back and you're like, did I actually say that?
Oh, yeah.
Like over the years.
Especially
right?
Going off like 2 hours sleep, you find yourself saying really obnoxious things.
Just talking and talking. Yeah, so apologies for Dexter. He was actually doing
research. He seems like a very nice guy.
He is. He wasn't just Googling topless pictures of you.
Yeah.
Although he did see Marissa's going, wow, those abs. I'm going to ask you, exactly how many times, before we mention it, have you been asked now in interviews about your purity ring?
How many times? Over the course of my entire career?
Approx.
1,000, maybe.
What about recently? Because you binned it or something.
I did what?
You binned it?
Oh, binned it. Like, tossed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get asked about it less in the U.S. now than I do about it here, because I think it's still very new information here.
Right.
Me growing up and becoming a man.
I remember. I used to do the 4 till 7 slot here. I remember you and all your brothers coming in. I think you'd been brainwashed by Disney or something.
Yeah.
So, but it meant that you were lovely.
We were very kind.
You were very kind. We literally.
And then it all went wrong.
No, we literally shook hands about 15 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were like, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know what it was? It was really interesting. During that time of our lives, we lived in fear.
Why?
I think we were just afraid that it would all just disappear at one point in time.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of crippled by that. And now I just, you know, all bets are off.
I mean, we've only shook hands once.
I think, maybe. It was a half shake. It was kind of,
and we might do it again at the end.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. See you soon. Yeah, bye. Where is the ring now? Do you know where it is? Did you toss it into the river in a symbolic fashion?
No, there was no symbolic fashion. I'm sure I have it somewhere.
All right.
But, you know, it was really natural. Happened over the course of a few years that it just was the right thing for me to establish my belief system as a man, you know, and become a man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you have to hide the fact that you had like girlfriends or relationships when you were in that situation?
No, we didn't have to. We did, though. I think we thought that, and it is, you know, there is something to it. We were a part of a teen phenomenon band,
yeah.
and a large part of our audience was females. So, you know, we try to be sensitive, I think, is the way we viewed it, to our female fan base and not necessarily like put it in their face. Plus, you know, in our teen years, our relationships were, what's the word? What's the politically correct word? Fleeting and right. Hard to keep up with.
Short-lived.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Do you, you don't regret that time at all?
No, no, no. I mean, I can't live in regret because I feel like it was an incredibly important step in my life, you know. And I was at Oxford Union last week.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah, and my whole talk was about that, was about, you know, living life in the public eye and decisions and choices that were made that, you know, I guess now you could look on and think, oh, do you regret it? But the reality is, it's like, it's the stepping stones to become who you're going to become in life.
And grew up in public.
Yeah. In the same way that, you know, if you look back on your elementary school pictures, you might feel an element of embarrassment.
Don't even go there with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my awkward stage in front of the whole world.
Yeah. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. You mentioned before the song that you did a speech for the very posh Oxford Union last week. How was that?
It was amazing. So the day leading up to it, I was doing radio all day. So it was a bunch of different stops. I was in Liverpool and Manchester and Stoke. And then I ended up in Oxford. And I was getting questioned all day. People were like, are you ready for this? Are you ready? Mm. And I was like, I guess. Mm. I don't know.
And when you go in there, because like, I actually have done it once, you go in there and you're like, oh my God, the world's most famous people have done this. Presidents. You know, like world leaders. But then you also realize that Pamela Anderson's also done it and you feel better.
No, there is an element to it that with among the greats, there are a few that
a few
make
like,
it easier.
Really?
Like, oh, I can top them.
So it makes you feel a little bit less intimidated.
Yeah, no,
so,
it's good.
So when people were going, so are you ready for this? What did you say? What am I supposed to do? You just do a speech, right?
Yeah, you know, do a speech. I talked for about 20 minutes,
okay.
And I gave sort of my whole life story. Mm. And my overall story, you know, I think to the surprise of many people, comes with a lot of tough moments, as well as some of the great successes. There's also moments that have been really hard.
What did you tell them that your tough moments were?
Getting diagnosed with diabetes was a tough moment, not to get heavy. But that, and then, you know, before we had any success, we were dropped from the label. Mm. Same week as, like, One Republic and Alicia Keys, like... Wow. Whoever that executive was is gone. No.
Yeah, they're out. Yeah. So the single Jealous is huge, 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 huge in America. Mm. And I saw you perform it at the EMAs, wasn't it? MTV EMAs.
The EMAs, yeah.
And the audience knew all the words already.
Yeah.
That must be fun when that happens.
It's amazing. Especially when you've written a song. That makes it that much sweeter.
Yeah.
And that was even really before it kind of broke open in the U.S., but it's just been amazing. I did a tour with a lot of Brits, actually, in the fall and winter last year. And throughout the course of that tour, over the course of like 6 weeks, you know, you could just see it growing and more and more people responding and felt amazing.
I bet Rixton were on that, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really nice guys.
They're really nice, aren't they?
Really. We basically, it was all, the dressings were curtained off. So it was kind of open space. And eventually we were all just hanging out, me and them. So we just tore the curtains down and had a couple beers and hung out.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah, they're good guys.
Yeah.
You are in a show. There's a lot going on, Nick. You're in a show called Kingdom in the US. And you play a guy called Nate, who is the son of a martial arts guy, right?
Yes.
So are you good at martial arts now? Have you had to learn?
Yeah, I had to train pretty intense for the show. Physically, mentally, I had to prep in a big way. It's a very heavy show.
Mm.
And I gained about 20 pounds of muscle for the role. Really amazing project to be a part of. Great cast. And I think it's coming out here soon.
Yeah, I've heard that it's coming out here soon. So if I was to approach you now, I mean, not like I couldn't have you in a fight at all. You would floor me. What would you actually do, though? Like if I walked towards you now in a threatening manner?
Is that the threatening manner?
No, because I can't do threatening.
Looked like you wanted a hug.
But let's say if I was walking towards you, was it just a small chop to the windpipe?
Well, my thing would always be to try and avoid actual, you know, offense. Like, I'm not going to try to punch somebody.
Right.
I'm going to try to submit them, basically put them out, like put them in a sleeper hold or, you know, threaten to break their arm by a position I have. You know, things that aren't necessarily like, I'm just going to go and attack them.
Right.
Okay,
so you're preventing yourself from being attacked, really.
Yeah, it's more defense.
And what position would I be in that situation?
Oh, if I was choking you out?
Yes.
Yeah.
What would that involve?
That would basically be my forearm and bicep choking you out.
And that would probably stop me from approaching you, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, hopefully that'll get a UK release soon because it looks like a really fun show. And also, you're getting a role in the new Ryan Murphy show as well.
Yeah.
So this is the guy that created Glee.
Glee and American Horror Story and A Normal Heart, which was an amazing thing.
So it's kind of a comedy horror set in a college.
Yeah.
Right? Have you done this already?
No, we start shooting in a couple of weeks.
Okay. And what's it called?
It's called Scream Queens.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your role?
I can't say, actually.
Oh, sorry.
It's very top secret. He's very specific about keeping things under lock and key. But basically, the show is about exposing the evil within fraternities and sororities. And the cast is Ariana Grande, Emma Roberts, Jamie Lee Curtis, Joe Manganiello, Abigail Breslin. It's a really good cast.
Yeah. Is your role recurring or is it a one-off?
Recurring role. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll look out for that as well.
Yeah, please do.
Nick Jonas is with us on Radio 1. Should we play Jealous?
We should.
I
think we should.
And then we'll come back. I've got a small quiz that I want to try out with you. Right there.
Cool. It's not your fault.
Jonas, Jealous on BBC Radio 1.
Yeah.
He's here with us now. So, I saw this online quiz. I kind of did it on the show myself a couple of weeks ago. You know the thing you see on BuzzFeed all the time, like, which member of the Big Bang Theory crew are you? Or, what breed of dog are you? Or, what song most sums up your experience of Ariana Grande? One of those, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did promise that the next star that came through the doors of Radio 1, I would try and get them to take this quiz. This one is called, What Kind of an Ex Are You? Are you ready, Nick Jonas?
I'm ready.
Okay, so some questions here. We find out which celebrity you've become similar to when you've had a breakup. Who would you like to be from? Calvin Harris, Sam Smith, Britney Spears, or Taylor Swift?
Okay.
I was a Taylor Swift type.
You were a Taylor Swift type. Give me the options one more time, sorry.
Calvin Harris?
Yeah.
Sam Smith?
Yeah.
Britney Spears? Taylor Swift, or you could be a Nick Jonas.
Which
that would be nice.
The thing about the Britney Spears thing is, like, I don't really know what kind of an ex she is. All the other ones,
I think it's quite clear.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I don't know actually.
I'll say this: I'll take the Sam Smith approach.
Okay.
You know, like to write some songs, win some Grammys.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Quite a lot of them. Okay. So here are the questions: Which song most sums up your attitude to breakups? If I Were a Boy, Beyonce. Blame It on Me, Calvin Harris. We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together by Taylor Swift. Or Jealous by Nick Jonas.
I would say probably Taylor Swift.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit bitter.
A little bit bitter, but also just a pretty clear statement that it ended for a reason.
Okay. How do you break up with someone? A. Sit them down and have the talk. B. Go nuclear, disappear and never speak to them again. Or C. Act like a diva and make them be the ones who dump you.
Ooh. Probably the first one. Sit them down, have a talk.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I think mine was go nuclear and just disappear off the face of the earth.
It's
harder to do now.
I knew a guy. This isn't... You know when someone says, I have a friend, doctor, who... This is real. I did actually know this person.
And this is not you.
This is not me. But he was dating this girl for 2 years, right? And then one day decided it wasn't right and just didn't know how to do it. And he just disappeared. But the problem was that this girl, like, ran in the same circles as all this guy's friends. And was like, where is so-and-so? And they were like, they never said. But he just disappeared.
So they never talked again.
Never talked again. Never really even broke up.
Right. He just disappeared.
Peaced out. Yeah.
Do you still know him?
I still know him. Yeah, he's a great songwriter.
Is he?
Yeah, it's not Sam Smith.
Okay. You go to an event for work, like your work, singing, and your ex is there. What do? Completely ignore them, brag about how exceptionally well your life is going, or flirt with someone hotter?
Ah, gosh. Well,
I think I went to someone hotter. It's very shallow.
I think I would go for the second choice. I wouldn't brag about it, but find a way to work it in a really, like, subtle way. Just be like, oh, man, you know, your life is just crazy at the moment. Things are going really Really well.
Going to be in Screen Queens.
Just have my Wikipedia pulled up and ready to go.
You might have heard of my song Jealous. It's on the radio everywhere. That kind of thing. Okay, so we're going for Brag How Exceptionally Well Your Life Is Going.
Yeah.
Which you could do quite easily. To get over the heartache, you need to keep busy. Do you go traveling to find yourself, hit the gym hard to get that cover star body, or get yourself a new hobby such as chess?
Does it really say that?
Yeah.
Chess.
Yeah.
That's the hobby of all the hobbies I could have. I'm going to go with hit the gym. That's how I get my frustration out.
Yeah.
Just putting some plates up in the gym.
Are you one of those? We spoke to Jason Derulo, I remember, once on this show, and he, yeah. I think he goes to the gym, I can't remember if it was every day, but sometimes three times a day. It's like, why don't you just stay in there?
Yeah, just
because you're already there for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, you spend more time in your gym clothes than in regular clothes. It's not a good look.
Yeah. Are you twice, three times? He is ripped.
He's ripped. When I am training for the TV show, I'm in the gym quite a bit.
Right.
But even then, twice is kind of my limit.
What fascinates me, though, is like when you're training for a role, you mean like in Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of your job to go to the gym, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it becomes your job for sure.
So in your schedule, it would be like gym time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's in there.
That's in there with the trainer and the food's all, you know, dialed in and the whole thing's happening.
Do they make it easy for you? Does it just literally arrive in some plastic, like little boxes, and you go, oh, I'll just eat that and that and that and that?
Well, I have done, like, the food service, which is nice, but the food isn't great.
Okay.
I love food. I you know, for me, like, pizza is heaven.
Not on the gym day?
No, not on the gym day.
Not when you're training for the show?
Yeah.
So I'm imagining you at home just cooking up all the protein.
Yeah, I can't cook, but there's a couple places in Hollywood where I live where I can go and get some good, like, health-conscious food, which is nice.
Okay.
Traveling makes it tough, though, because it's like Burger King,
yeah.
You know, Wagamama's, although I love it. It's not necessarily on the plan.
On a day when you do have to be in the gym training for the show, how many hours are you there?
An hour each, so it's like two times. And then, you know, the fight training, when I was doing that, was a couple hours, like 6 hours.
Mm.
So that was, I was literally working out more than I wasn't in the day. It was like working out,
hours
eating
a day.
And sleeping. Yeah. Learning how to be a fighter.
Yeah. Back to the quiz. As we find out what kind of ex Nick Jonas is, how do you avoid seeing holiday photos of your ex in their beachwear? Block them on social media. Get your best mate to check Facebook before you so they can advise if it's still safe to look. Shut down your Facebook or flee the country and become a monk.
You know, I have a rule with my friends. This is something I've never told anybody, but I'm telling you.
Tell me.
A rule with my, you know, like my closest guy friends. This is what we all do. This is the bro code.
Mm-hmm.
Picture pops up. It's an ex. Someone you've been with, whatever. And you have to keep your mind off it. Their job is to say any negative thing they can think of about the person.
Right, so really? Like,
yeah.
Does that work for you?
It works. It works really well. I'd be like, well, you know.
So give me an example.
She was never kind to your mom. It's like,
oh, right,
you're
okay.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
But then
do they all have to come up with one?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course. That's the duty.
Mm.
As a friend.
Okay. Nick Jonas, I'm just counting up your scores. And the celebrity ex that you are most like is, bet you really want to know, Sam Smith.
Really?
Yep. You're the same
nice.
As Sam Smith.
I'm going to win so many awards.
Thank you so much for coming in today to see us.
Thank you.
Come and see us again soon.
I will.
Thank you.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Last week on the show, our friend Dave was treated to a quiz on a train. So he called us up after it had happened. The quiz was run by the conductor over the speakers going to every single carriage so everybody could take part. Nobody was left out. The winner even got a free meal deal from the buffet car. And that lucky winner was Liv in Coach C. She couldn't believe her luck. When they heard Dave on the show, somebody else got in touch to say that they were on the same train and they were in the coach where Liv won. And she was beside herself with excitement. This is happening more than we think, though. There are wacky conductors on trains and coaches everywhere. Someone else got in touch to say there was some karaoke on a coach run by the bus drivers. Donna, you know more on this, don't you?
Hi, Scott. Yeah, I think I might have been on the same bus. Well, not the same bus, but had the same driver. My coach was actually from London to Nottingham, and the driver was an absolute legend.
Was he doing karaoke then?
Yeah, he did all sorts of stuff. So he started off by doing a High Five Friday, where he ran up and down the aisles high-fiving everyone. And then he later took the question for karaoke, but he fired it off because it was a Friday with tonight's going to be a good night. And then taking children's requests, like the wheels on the bus go round and round.
Did he sound a bit like my favourite person, John Barrowman, singing it? I don't know the way he says good, good. Better or worse than John Barrowman?
Equal. But
equal.
Better, I guess.
Sure.
Northern accent.
I'm not sure I could cope with this on a coach, Donna.
I was planning to go out that night, so it was like a kind of pre-party coach.
Right. Were there drinks?
Unfortunately not.
I like it that coach would be for pre-drinking. Since when was High Five Friday a thing?
I don't know. He said they do it all Fridays. And he actually gave us 10 hands Friday. I don't know. But he gave us a high five on the way into the coach and then another one as we were sitting down.
What a guy.
Yeah, he was amazing. And he also can speak a lot of different languages, apparently, because he welcomed everyone in about 30, and it was amazing.
So he did a greeting on the microphone in 30 different languages and 30 ways to say hello and welcome.
I reckon, yeah, 30.
Can you remember any of them?
Jambo.
Which was?
I think it's Kenyan.
Sure.
He did all the languages, I think. It was amazing. Everyone got involved.
Willkommen, was that on?
Fun.
Welcome in.
Oh, sorry. yeah, that was definitely there. He covered the main European languages, so yeah.
Now, I always like it when people send us stories, so get involved. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. That's what Donna did. And I'm very impressed, Donna, that you obviously had this show in mind and you recorded some of the coach driver for us. I love it when the listeners do our work for us. Okay, so here is Donna's coach driver. Check him out with the High Five Friday.
On the High Five Friday, we do that every Friday. Get ready for are we ready for the weekend yet?
Yes.
That's not bad, we've got one. Is anybody else ready for the weekend? Have we got the Friday feeling? Let's see.
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Let's see if they've got the Friday feeling. I got a feeling. That's not bad. I like that. They've got the Friday feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. Anyway, moving on. This is my other job. Right, we'll be doing the sing-along later. The wheels on the bus go round and round.
Oh, brilliant. I tell you what, he's really earning his money there, isn't he?
Yeah, he deserves some sort of recognition or promotion. Amazing.
He could have just sat there in complete silence and got on with it, but he wants to provide a bit of entertainment for you all.
He entertained us the whole journey. And even with his safety announcement, he did it like in a hilarious way. He's like, ding dong, you are on the... And like he made it like a plane journey. It was amazing.
What, so he did bing bong with his own voice?
Yep.
Oh, I love him. It reminds me of going on holiday to Spain when I was really young and they have the hotel entertainment.
I think you mentioned you might have looked at Butlins or something. I'm not sure.
It just reminds me of Kids Club.
Yeah.
Right, Donna, wait there. I want to talk a bit more about this guy on the coach after years and years.
Okay, then.
Now, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that we're about to do this, but I've got a little surprise for you.
Okay.
Don't be scared. You haven't seen him or spoken to him for a whole month. But through the power of National Radio, and only Radio 1 can do this, please welcome the bus guy, Paul.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Yes, I'm fantastic, thank you very much. Or should I say bonjour, ça va, very well.
We tracked him down for you, Donna.
Thank you so much.
Anything you'd like to say to Paul, Donna?
Paul, you're an absolute legend. Please keep doing what you're doing and cheering people up on Fridays. Please. It was the best coach journey of my life.
Thank you very much indeed. It's all about being of service, and it's all about making people feel welcome. And don't forget the High Five Friday. I got a feeling... Oh. that tonight's going to be a good night.
Oh, I feel like it's Friday already.
There you go.
Do you break into song at all points of the day, Paul?
You were supposed to go to Woohoo bit there, Scott. Oh. I'm a bit disappointed.
Okay, again.
Yeah, I got a feeling.
Woohoo!
That tonight's going to be a good night.
Oh, I feel like I'm on the coach.
Yes. And we do the wheels on the bus to go round and round sometimes as well. It has to be done, Scott. It has to be done. But thank you, Donna. That is very nice of you. Thank you.
How long has High Five Friday been going?
7 years.
7 years.
7 years.
7 years.
Every week.
Every Friday. 7 years, yep.
And you don't even get bored of it, do you?
Nope, not at all.
So what do you do then? Just take a microphone and run up and down the aisle?
I go up to the coach and I say hello to everybody, and I say hello to people in 20 different languages as well.
Can you give me some of those?
Yeah, I go, Salam alaikum, Sansakal, Namaste, Kamchon, Nihao, Konnichiwa, Bonjour, Guten Tag, Ola, Chesh, Bonjour, Nalskravi, Ahoy, Buna, Marabai, Yasu, Previet, Labas, Chuni, Shalom, Kumastas, Si, Chow, Anyon, Bonjour, Akrobat, and Ayok Miduk.
Well, that's incredible. What was the last one? Nottingham?
Yeah, that's the Nottingham one.
I like it that Ayok Miduk is in there with Salam alaikum and lots of others.
It's very cultural.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
So you do your hello in all those languages, Paul, and then you just run up and down the carriages doing high five, do you?
On a Friday, high five Friday. We do a high five Friday, and I do the audience participation test. And it's just little things just to break the monotony of it. It's just give people that experience of we're not all robots. We're people.
Well, I didn't even know this happened. I mean, we've had it on people telling us about coaches and trains. So thanks very much, Paul.
You're very welcome, Scott.
Good to speak to you.
Yes, and Donna, take care. Bye.
Thank you very much for bringing this to our attention, Donna.
It's fine. He's amazing.
He is, isn't he? Attention.
Yeah.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
I like how Paul got stuck halfway through there. High five Friday, high five Friday, high five Friday.
The Scott Mills Daily.
This is Scott Mills on BBC Radio 1. Playing Rudimental and John Newman, Feel the Love. Stuff happening today. Perez Hilton wants to go on the next series of Strictly Come Dancing. Yes, do it. Sign him up. Kanye West is... There's a lot about this on Twitter. A lot of people muttering about this. Kanye West is speaking now in Oxford. I don't know whether it's at the university or at a museum. There are conflicting reports. But he's speaking now about something nobody really knows what. Zayn Malik has got a solo spot on the new Naughty Boy album, which is coming soon. And Carly Rae Jepsen's managed to get Tom Hanks. How? In the video for her new track, which is called I Really Like You. We're going to play it in the next half hour. It's not a pop emergency in the Rihanna way that it was last week, but it's still quite good.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, I'm telling you, there was someone on the Jeremy Kyle repeats yesterday morning who looked exactly like one of Haim. I couldn't tell you which one. Was it just me that noticed this? Was anyone else watching? Okay, it's embarrassing a little bit, but yes, it was the omnibus that they do on Sunday mornings of Jeremy Kyle. Maybe I just flicked it on. I was flicking through the channels. Definitely looked like one of Haim. Was it just me that noticed? Props weren't her, though, because she had a Manchester accent and her boyfriend did not look like the kind of person that one of Haim would go out with. Carly Rae Jepsen has been away for ages and is fairly in danger of becoming... Oh! Is she ever going to be able to better Call Me Maybe, one of the best pop songs of the last decade? I, as you know before I've said it, I'm not sure it can ever happen because that is a great song. Let's definitely not count the one she did with Owl City. And there was another one which nobody noticed. But is anyone going to care about this? At the moment, I'm giving it a 5 or 6 out of 10, but I think it might grow. It's called I Really Want You. It is catchy, but is it better? All the same. Carly Rae Jepsen. J Jamie in Coventry says, slay my queen. Yes! Holly Rae, yes!
Yes, Gaga! Yes.
Obsessed! Obsessed! Jack in Cheltenham says, here comes summer. It's all right, isn't it? I really, 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 really like you by Carly Rae Jepsen.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Greg James, hello.
Isn't it?
It is, though.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm very good. I've just played Carly Rae Jepsen's new track. Did you hear any of it?
Nice to see you sober. I heard it. I heard half of it.
Yeah, it's very pop. But we think, well, everyone thinks far too many reallys in it.
It's quite, not necessarily a bad thing, it's quite Jessica Simpson.
I used to love her.
Yeah, no, that's why you love this as well.
Yeah, true.
But there's nothing wrong with Jessica Simpson.
No, there really is not.
I'm just saying that's... what was the big one that she had?
Well, she had several.
No, there's a big one. There's one.
With You.
With You was the one.
It wasn't even that big. It was big in my ears.
Did you prefer Ashley or Jessica?
I had Ashley on repeat for a while. But
Boyfriend's a good tune.
Yeah, record of the week. I actually made that record of it.
Good.
Okay, good. Yeah, far too many reallys. Three would have been enough, say most people. Six just sounds insincere down in Birmingham. So a selection of facts here for you today that me and Greg have got to work out because I'm playing in the absence of Chris Stark. It's real or no real. What about this top fact?
The former bassist with Reverend and the Makers is now Britain's leading Henry VIII impersonator.
What?
Whoa.
You remember Reverend and the Makers?
This
is a good song.
Well, it's a great song. This was the first song I ever played on Radio 1. Ever.
Was it?
Yeah. June the 1st, 2007. Old. That's the first song I ever played.
Well, you've been on a while. You've been on a while now.
I've been on a while.
I remember listening to that.
I'll be off next.
Your first show.
So I think
it's me before you, my darling.
They're taking bets.
I know.
I think
get on at William Hill now.
It's all the rage to leave, isn't it?
It is. It's the thing.
I think
I might just for fun.
For fun. I wonder. I know Reverend the Makers are still going, so I think this is a thing that he does sort of maybe in his spare time. I don't remember him being particularly fat.
No.
Or beard. I don't know, actually.
As revealed on the show last week, Hertz, still massive in Europe.
Yeah.
To the point where they've actually got a private jet to fly around all of the Baltic states, let's say.
Well, I know they're still going because I did a gig with them recently, Reverend the Makers.
Yeah.
And okay.
Here's the bassist now turned into Henry VIII impersonator.
I think this is no real. I don't think this is real. No real.
I'm saying no real, but I do have a story about Henry VIII impersonator.
That one is no real.
Thank God for that.
So I was on Saturday Live on Radio 4 on Saturday morning.
Oh, I heard about this. Mm.
I was on with the Reverend Richard Coles, who used to be in the Communards.
Hello.
Pop band from the 80s.
Reverend Richard Coles is always on, isn't he?
Yep, and also I was on with an art dealer and the UK's number one Henry VIII impersonator. Now, at the end, he was dressed in all his gear. At the end of the show, which is like kind of a magazine chat show, he was like, Henry VIII said to me, would you mind signing a photo for one of my friends? Her name's Louise. So I was like, sure. So I came down to the bottom of the building to pick up a photo of myself, like the DJ cards we have in reception, signed it to Louise. Now, this is all when he was getting changed out of his Henry VIII outfit into his normal clothes. But my taxi was here and they were going, we can't wait any longer. You've got to leave now, otherwise we're going to leave. So I said to the lady on reception at the BBC, excuse me, there's a man in a minute who looks a bit like Henry VIII. He's going to come down here. This is a signed photo for him. Can you give it to him? She was like, what do you mean he looks a bit like Henry VIII? He was like, he's a Henry VIII impersonator. He won't be wearing the full outfit. He's just got changed out of that. But
yeah, he looks like Henry VIII without his clothes on. You should have said, what, is this one of your wives I'm signing it for?
He's so busy. He works every day and wears the Henry VIII outfit every day.
I don't think that's a great chat up line, though. Do you know what I mean?
Did he guess a lot of women?
If it's a first date and someone goes, what do you do for a living? And he goes, well, I'm actually a Henry VIII impersonator. Yeah. I go, right, I'm out. I'm going.
Yeah,
goodbye.
You would go immediately.
I know the stories surrounding you, sir, and I know you're not the real one, but I'm not taking any chances.
Well, he's very busy. I mean, he's rarely out of the outfit, he's telling me. The castles employ him every weekend.
I don't want to be wife number seven, thank you.
And next.
To prepare for his secret busker makeover, Ollie Murs has had his first wet shave in 5 years.
Breaking news.
It's quite Daily Mail Online, that, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Nicole Scherzinger steps in puddle.
First puddle for 5 years.
No, it wouldn't even be steps in. Avoid puddle. So Ollie Murs looked brilliant as the secret busker. I don't know if you've seen the video yet on the Radio 1 YouTube.
I have, yeah. Was he called Frank? Was it Frankie called himself? Yeah. It's very good.
But he sounds too like Ollie Murs.
Well, you can't not sing like Ollie Murs if you're Ollie Murs.
Yeah, but make it worse, is what I'm saying. The video's on the Radio 1 YouTube. So Grimmie disguised Ollie and put him on the streets of London to busk his own songs, but dressed up as somewhere else. So he was Frankie, a gruff-voiced Cockney busker. See how much money he made and watch the video online. So did he have his first wet shave in 5 years, Murs?
That's big news if it's true. I'm going to say real.
I'm saying real as well because he's often very unshaven.
That one is real.
Oh, fancy. And moving on.
In the 1980s, there was a man on the board of toothpaste maker Arm and Hammer, whose name was Armand Hammer.
No!
Armand Van Helden.
Armand Hammer. He does sound like a DJ.
Armand Van Buren and all the others. Well, so there's a man called Armand Hammer.
Yeah, and he works for the company Armand Hammer. He was on the board of the toothpaste maker.
Well, they
that's
decided
too much of a coincidence.
But they...
Surely.
No, they... Hang on, what's the brand called?
Hang on. It's called Arm and Hammer.
But there was a man called Armand Hammer.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't.
I'm not having this
No,
at
that's
all.
Nonsense.
It's one of those that they make up on here. And it's, yeah, I'm not falling for that.
It's too much of a coincidence. Unless he wanted to get a job and said that that was his name. And then he got the job and then changed it.
I know, I'll apply for that company because it's my name.
What's your name, sir? It's Mr. Hammer, first name Armand.
No, I'm saying they've made this up. No real.
All right, I'll go for real to make it a game of it.
That one is real.
No way!
Why? What's happened there?
Okay, I've got it here. Armand Hammer was a big American businessman in the 80s. Everyone assumed his company was named after him, but it was complete coincidence. The Arm and Hammer name was 30 years older than him.
What?
Okay, that's blowing my mind. And next.
When Ed Sheeran was a newbie pub singer, he would tempt people to sit in the room he was playing by offering them free roast potatoes.
Yeah, this is so Ed Sheeran.
It is, isn't it?
This is definitely one of those stories that I can hear him saying.
We don't even need to discuss this.
I can even hear Taylor Swift talking about the time when Ed Sheeran did a gig and paid the audience
and
in potatoes.
He paid them, and I thought it was so great. He paid them all in roast potatoes. You can really hear it.
It's so funny. Like, I went to the countryside, and you buy everything with roast potatoes.
Yeah.
You can buy a car.
It was so cute and British.
Ed's house is made out of potatoes. I can hear the story. I can hear it already.
And I was like, wow.
Oh my God, the English are so cute, like in the countryside, that all they do is just eat potatoes and buy them off people with potatoes. How many potatoes does this potato cost?
There's so many of these stories, like, about Ed Sheeran when he started out. So, I mean, it's trademark Ed Sheeran. It really is, 100%. Real.
This is definitely real.
That one is real.
Yeah. That's right, of course it is.
Knew it.
Ed would buy up all of the pubs, though. Ed would buy up all of the pubs' spuds and get them put out in a lovely spread so his audience could help themselves.
Ooh.
What, so no other buffet, just potatoes on a table?
Wow.
Oh, very carb heavy.
Very carb, but no carbs after marbs.
And at the end of that round of real or no real, we haven't kept score again.
Oh, have I not? I haven't either. Oh,
see,
no.
I always rely on the other person.
We really need Chris Sark.
I know, come back soon, Chris.
Someone listening, text in, tell us who won.
Tell us who won, please, because we were paying absolutely no attention, which has rendered this game quite literally pointless. Which is another much better quiz. And today on Radio 1 with Greg at 4 o'clock, what's occurring, please?
Today we have a star caller with Neo after 5 o'clock this afternoon. Yes. Yeah. What happened then? What's the score?
Well, everyone's saying different things, so actually it's quite hard to keep score, but the...
That's because no one was interested.
No one cares. Why does no one care about the scores on Real or No Real? I thought they did.
What does it vary between?
Oh, everyone's saying, like, some people are saying I won, some people say you're won. If anyone cares, it was 40 to Greg and 30 to me, so Greg wins today's Real or No Real. Well done.
I got 40?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that right?
That's great.
And the producer's decision is final 40. Full house, mate.
That's full house. Oh, well, what an honour.
What an honour.
An absolute honour.
Nobody
all right, see
cares.
You tomorrow then.
Play a song. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Those are Monday's best bits. Join us live if you can tomorrow from 1 on Radio 1. And at 1:45, it's Ricky Wilson off of The Voice and Kaiser Chiefs Getting Wet on Innuendo Bingo. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.